Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Controversial subjects with the facts can be tense, but we are a sub-science here to make things make sense.
Today we're talking about FOMO, otherwise known as fear of missing out. We'll be talking about the psychology behind it, how it interplays with social media and Instagram, and ultimately like what's going on with you if you experience FOMO. But first, we'll be talking about how the dinosaurs actually died, and then also the current extinction event we're experiencing right now.
I can never tell if you remember mine.
I did, but you, I was panicking because I was like, was the music still on? You know me, I'm anxious about everything. Okay, here we go.
Wait, it was on, but it was low.
I know, I couldn't hear it, so I got scared. But it was on. Hopefully it was loud enough to give people the vibe that the episode has started.
Lago. So since our breathing episode, I have been doing a lot of breathing in really quickly, breathing out really slowly, and it's a slay.
I want it, like, did I? I'm not sure if I taught it properly because now I did more research since then because I made a video on it that's going to come out, and I want people to hear what it sounds like.
Okay.
Specifically, they do say the first big breath is in through your nose, and then tiny pause, and then another little one through your nose. Yeah, and then a long one through your mouth. So it sounds a little like this.
Okay, you just had to do your own little bragger.
No, I just wanted to make sure.
I was modeling it.
Oh, you did an amazing job. I wanted them to hear it all at once. Do you feel relaxed?
Because I did it when I was really stoned on an edible, and it helped me not have a full panic attack.
Oh, great. No, it's like it'll trigger your parasympathetic nervous system. Even one sigh has been shown to relax. But if you do it for like 5 minutes a day, it can have some really, really positive
It might be placebo, Italian for placebo. But whenever I did it, I was like, okay, that's helping. I'm less freaking out about how like everything ends and stuff like that.
This will come out after the breathing episode, right?
Yes.
Did that already come out? I don't know.
Oh my god. Oh my god.
I'm lost.
Mitch.
Where am I?
Mitch.
Why are we talking about an old episode?
Down.
What happened?
I know this one's after the breathing episode. The one before this will be breathing. I am in charge of the upload schedule.
Okay. So
good
what else
Lord above,
new?
Have mercy. Well, that's the thing. I was breathing in and the big thing that's new is I almost had a panic attack because I had a really strong edible. And then I did the breathing thing and it really helped. And that was all that's new in my life. Wow, Greg stoned again. What's new?
Well, honestly, it's so funny because those edibles were from, you know, someone we know that was like, these are a strong match. And we're so different. Like, I could never. You were just like, yeah, okay, I'm just going to eat this whole thing.
Yeah, I was like, well, I'm just going to go with it.
Face first. Into,
yeah,
like,
it was
even
wild.
Though you were warned.
Like, well, but I got a lot of work done. And I made really good scones. Like, it was like I was stoned and things were firing and it was a lot of fun.
But every now and then, I'd hear you downstairs. You go, Mitch, I think I need help. I'm too stoned. And then you go, actually, no, I figured it out.
Yeah, no, I couldn't find the cream I had just bought. And I was like so high and I was running around the house being like, oh my God, I can't find the cream, but I know that I'm stoned. I just need someone with turn around. It's like if you could think of the center of the table, like the most obvious spot, it was there. And it was just like, wow. Like
the amount of times Greg would go like, Greg was missing his, by the way, we both have night guards because we're crazy and I guess grind our teeth on it or
no,
something.
No, everyone has mouth
okay,
guards.
Good. I'm just trying to be like, in case everyone's going to make fun of us for having a mouth guard.
Yeah, we wear mouth guards. And if you don't, let me guess, you're grinding your teeth and you wake up with a sore jaw.
Anyway, for like a week, Greg was like, I lost it. I can't find it anywhere. I must have left it somewhere else. literally one day I'm just like, I can't listen to him say this anymore. Go into his literal like toiletries drawer and it's just sitting there. And every night for I swear a week, he'd be like, oh, you have your night guard. I can't find mine anywhere. And I'm like, okay. I'm gonna spend 20 seconds looking at where you probably put it. And there it is.
Yeah. Even yesterday, I was just like, oh my God, I didn't bring my headphones. I'm such an idiot. Well, I'm just going to walk home with the dog and listen to nature and I'm going to think. And I like actually was just like, had this intense walk home experience and got home and they were around my neck.
No.
Yes. No. Like I just was like, oh my God. Like I thought that like, I was like rummaging through my bag and like rummaging through my stuff. And I was just like, oh my God. And I also did that the other day. I like walked, I went to a store, left the store, walked back in the store and was like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. I think I left my headphones here. And he was like, they're on your head. And they were just like, I'd put them above my ears so that I could like hear the people. Like, you know what I mean? Like I like lifted them and put them on the top of my head, like really weirdly. Like I probably looked like a like prince or something, like big gray headphones, like resting above my ears. Band is at the back of my head, so it's like not on my ear, so I'm obviously like I can't hear in my headphones,
but like you could push play and it would be like centimeters from your eardrum still.
No, I think I didn't even press play. I think I was just like, they're not on my ears. And he was like, yeah, they're on your head. I was like, oh my God. Also, I just
my boyfriend's crazy.
Before we get in, because I know it's side now, never, you know, whatever, we start by talking about ourselves, just like relax, buckle up. And I was like, I think Mitch will kill me if I tell him this, but I'm not saying it on the pod, but I was safe. But
I'm
yesterday,
so scared. No.
Me and Ernie truly had the coolest thing ever. And I taught him. I was surfing. He was pulling me like a horse on my bike home.
What?
It was amazing. So I I was like, I was like, Ernie, look at me like, we're doing this, but never tell me. So at first I go, okay, like I'm walking with him. I don't have headphones. So I'm impatient. I'm like, I can't, are you telling me I can't listen to a podcast at 1.5 times the speed while I walk my dog home? So I'm like, okay.
And
like,
you had your bike in the other hand.
I had my bike
right?
in the other hand. I'm thinking, well, this is a waste. I got wheels. He's got legs. Let's just try this. So I get on the bike. It's like on the bridge. Ernie immediately, like our dog is just like, so like if things are normal, he's fine. If the second something's a little, he starts trying to jump on the bike. He's like, holy shit, holy shit. I'm just on the bike. He's like, I'm like, Ernie, stop. He's just like, oh my God. He like keeps running in front of the front wheel. And I'm like, well, that's not going to work.
Yeah.
Like, okay. I'm like, okay, you're crazy. Like my dog's crazy. This isn't going to work. Fine. I get off the bike, walk. And I'm like looking at him and I'm like saying like, beside, like, I'm just like, and he's like, keeps looking at me. Like, he's like, that was crazy. What's happening? Then we get to like St. Clarence. I'm like, this is a long street.
You don't need to tell people exactly where we live. Thank you.
That's, we don't live on St. Clarence. We live near there or whatever. We're West End Toronto gays. We like get in this long street. I get back on. I'm like, calm. He starts walking beside me. I'm on my bike pedaling a bit. I'm like, oh my God, this is fun. This is fun. Then he's, and then I'm like, slow. And I stop pedaling and he starts pulling me. And I'm like, you're a horse and buggy. Like, this is sleigh.
Oh my God.
And then he starts rowing. And then he starts sprinting. This is when I was like, Mitch would kill me. He starts getting so excited. He's looking at me.
Are you like on the road?
I was on the sidewalk, but there's no people.
Okay.
And yeah. I knew. I'm like, oh my God. He starts sprinting. I swear to God. I'm like, I'm going the fastest I've ever gone on my bike. And then I like hit the brakes. He kind of was like, like there's like this crazy moment of like, okay, where I'm gonna die.
Oh my God.
And then like everything's fine. I'm like, that was so fun. So we do it one more time and he kind of like gets like going. And then I start realizing with, if I use my brakes with him,
yeah,
I can kind of control him with the brakes.
So, like,
and he literally surfs me up all the way to Bloor.
Wow.
And then we get to Bloor.
Stop saying our street names.
Oh my God, Mitch. It's
no, bleep these out.
Mitch, it's fine. This is not where we live. I still have a lot more to get home. Then I hit the brakes. He stops. We finish. He's exhausted. I'm like, you're a horse. Okay, anyways, I'll show you later. It was the craziest thing ever.
Show me. Oh, like
if
him
you want.
Doing it to you?
Yeah, like we could do it tonight. Anyways, that was a huge side note, but my dog is a horse and it is an absolute sleigh.
Oh, what did we learn this week?
Okay.
I guess I'll go first because mine's about a previous
math extinction.
Yeah, and yours is about a current. Okay.
Yeah.
So apparently
an asteroid didn't kill the dinosaurs. Okay. Says some new
research. You're saying that in such a funny way that I'm like, you're lying. It's a trick.
No, it's not. This is just what a new paper has concluded based on these new computer simulations. So basically, as we know, 3/4 of all life was like taken out, including all the non-bird dinosaurs.
We've become insane science communicators. We're like, as you know.
Yes, we're all memorized 66 million years
okay,
ago.
Okay, guys. There were dinosaurs.
And, you know, we've all watched these cartoons of an asteroid hitting the Earth and causing problems.
And it made sense. It's like birds are dinosaurs. They survive because they're in the air and the asteroid hit the Earth.
Yeah, so basically, they just like tried to remove all human bias and use these computer systems to analyze the evidence that actually exists. So they have like these cores that they have as evidence to like, you know, look at the layers of the Earth to see like what was in the atmosphere and all that kind of stuff. Basically, the computer simulation estimated that the amount of like gases that could have come from an asteroid strike were more than likely feasibly coming from a volcano that they know was erupting around that time. Not a specific volcano, but they said like it's called the Deccan or Deccan Traps eruptions that happened for like 1,000 years, I think it was. I'm trying to find where I wrote down this. And that was like knowing that went off helps explain the core. Do you know what I mean? Helps explain like the samples they look at. It's like enough to be like, that's why there was gas in the air. For a long time, they thought like obviously an asteroid could do that. Like turn whatever into like gases. Like the gases could have come from an asteroid strike because it incinerates the rocks on the planet. But ultimately now they're like, actually maybe the volcano was enough and it might've actually been a volcano that did it.
That's interesting.
I'm just like, I said thousands of years. I'm like, where did I write that down?
Yeah, it's definitely like more than
so these
thought.
Eruptions, which lasted roughly 1,000,000 years, spewed massive amounts of gas-ridden lava across what's now Western India.
Whoa, okay.
Anyway.
That's really intense. That's like, I mean, I need to know more because I thought this is going to be an argument of sorts.
Yeah, I don't
the
think
scientific
that
community.
Yeah, I don't think it means like, oh, we're all saying it for sure was volcanoes.
But if you want to be devil's advocate at the dinner, you can say, oh, well, actually, have you heard of the Western India volcano theory?
Mm-hmm.
And then they might go gulp. And then they might look it up and be like, wow, the gases in the air do make a lot of sense for that. Mm-hmm. Okay, another crazy thing. This is not my what did we learn this week, but it literally could be. But in 250 million years, they did like a computer simulation. I'm like, it might be the same ones in the future.
Yeah.
And they were like, I mean, 250 million years. Okay, people, it's a long time from now.
Really long time.
So they're like, all the
like dinosaurs were here 66 million years ago.
So like, all the countries have now created like a super Pangaea and they're all collided again.
Oh,
and it's so hot that no mammal can be alive.
Oh.
And it's like, okay. And then they're like, so yeah, humans, if you want, you know, get to space. But
like,
then I was like,
get out of here, girl.
But then I was like, I don't need Elon Musk reading this article and being like, it's like, no, what? Maybe you're not going to make it to
it's
space.
It's like, we're not going to be here in 250 years.
I know. And it's just like the getting to space is when I'm like, you're ignoring the climate crisis. And like, okay, well, we'll get into okay. So we're in the sixth largest mass extinction at the beginning of that event right now. This is due to the climate crisis. Estimates show that species are disappearing 100 to 1,000 times the rate of naturally occurring extinctions, which is why it's considered a mass extinction.
Mm-hmm.
But unlike the previous five mass extinctions, which one, you know, might have been a volcano, might have been an asteroid, this one's precipitated by the action of us humans, which I think is so interesting. This is why I'm like, Elon, stop trying to go to space. Like, let's sort the shit out online. Online. Wow, that's bad. On ground. Yeah, so ecological communities on land have lost 20% of their original biodiversity, and they think millions of terrestrial species are likely to become extinct by 2100.
Okay, that's like, extremely depressing.
Yes, and this is like loss of conversion of land for industry and agribusiness for humans.
Mm-hmm.
And so the whole point of this devastating information is, again, to try and like be like, we got to make change. Mm-hmm. And so what they're talking about is like how countries have officially now started to model and track biodiversity as part of their like official statistics of their populations.
Like positive growth.
Yes.
Biodiversity of animals in their countries. Is that what you mean?
Of habitats, animals, like plants, being like, okay, we can't just like talk about positive change and growth as like, right. you made
we
more money
support
from the
nature and see that that it's flourishing as well.
Yeah. And it was like, okay, well, we're not doing that. And it was kind of like, yeah. So then now this is all the like frustrating, like bureaucracy that comes in, but it is interesting. So there's this big project called the System of Environmental Economic Accounting, which is like, become the world standard for understanding nature's contribution to the economy, as well as the economic impact that something has on nature.
Okay.
So it's like, trying to be like, okay, like, yeah, if you're Canada, all your money's coming from nature. It's fossil fuels, it's resources, mm-hmm. it's minerals. So you're obviously obliterating biodiversity to get that. So there's like starting to create metrics of like, wait, how much of your economy is like extraction from nature? Mm-hmm. And then how much of that economic growth is impacting that negatively, that nature kind of just being like, we need it. And it is a lot of like Canada's doing this. I mean, like countries, more affluent, wealthy countries have adopted this first. It's like, well, yeah, I would hope so. And then they're like, if we can take that information and link it with something else called the System of National Accounts, which is like the international standard to measure consumer and government spending and investments on business and like economic growth. Mm-hmm. If they can somehow mix them, they're like, maybe they could change the market so that if you are benefiting
the environment,
you link it with those stats. Hmm. And then within the market of climate change, your country has growth. Okay.
I mean, I kind of thought you were going to say like maybe those businesses get like subsidies or something like that. Yes. Is that what you mean?
Sorry. Like it's not that. This is why I'm like bureaucracy is so.
You were saying a bunch of stuff and then you said and your country has growth.
Yeah. No. Okay.
No, it sounds complicated.
Yeah.
I'm sure that is what it is, but I didn't really understand the last part.
It's like figuring out how to more closely link the economic impact on nature to economics.
Yes.
So it's like,
that makes sense because we're also going to face, there's a huge economic cost, which more and more, you know, have like insurance firms and all these places are having to realize actually the forest fires are going to cost us so much money. And that is a real cost that we can now be like, let's save money. If you're going to invest in saving the environment, that's actually going to save us money, so it's worth our time and money. And I imagine this is like, okay, if there's businesses that are positively impacting the environment, it's like a good thing to invest in them and consider that positive growth.
Yes, but I think like,
even if it's not immediate, in the long run it probably saves and makes money.
So this is what I mean by this is like a really annoying bureaucracy study I read, but because it's like you can say that, right? You can be like, what if the positive impacts that like mm-hmm. is like and a good thing in the market? So they're just saying we have these two statistical systems already in place. One is like looking at countries are now finally being like, okay, we understand how much biodiversity we're ruining for economics and also how much of our industry is relying on nature. So we have that information. Then we have this other thing, SNA, the System of National Accounts, which is trying to somehow use markets to benefit people who do look after the environment. Yes. So they're like, if we take these two bureaucratic separate concepts and try to link them more, maybe we can actually create like
propel it forward.
Propel a model. Yeah. Cause at a certain point you can say things, but like, I guess you have to use this weird ass government shit.
I'm just glad there's people who like want to do this. I mean, because I care about it, but I'm like, I do not want to deal with that business part of
but
it.
But that's what is so interesting about the climate crisis. It's like, it's kind of in so many ways like interesting because it's devastating, but it's so not interesting in the policy that it's like, that needs to go into this. Like truly you like look at a government and you're like, oh my God, all those people have to like do a bunch of weird paperwork.
Mm-hmm. To make it happen.
To make something called the SEEA link with the SNA. Yeah. Like that sounds really boring.
Yeah.
And in fact, even as I was explaining it, I was like, is everyone like what?
Existentially important.
Yes. Okay. So here's another thing. It was going to be my, what we learned this week, next week, but like whatever. I just
girl,
got it. I'm
no,
learning
save
a lot.
It because
I'm
we have gone for a long time.
Okay. Okay. But let's just say London's going to be underwater soon. So let's figure this shit out.
Okay.
Well, that's edging you for next week. Yeah. You're listening to this in London. Have fun.
Now
glub,
you
glub,
also
swimming.
Now fear of missing out coming up. If you're not here next week, you won't hear.
Yeah. You'll get
amazing.
FOMO.
What'd you learn this week? But are we okay to take a break?
Yeah. Post.
Okay.
What do you call a person who speaks three languages? Trilingual. Someone who speaks two? Bilingual. Someone who speaks one? American. Okay. Only 22% of Americans speak a language other than English at home. Start learning a new language this fall and be the exception, not the rule. Because with Babbel, you start speaking a new language in just 3 weeks. Why Babbel? Because it works, honey. Instead of paying hundreds of dollars for a private tutor or fooling yourself with language apps that are little more than games, Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are designed by over 150 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Studies from Yale, Michigan State University, and others continue to prove Babbel is better. For instance, one study found that using Babbel for 15 hours is equivalent to a full semester at college. Here's a special limited time deal for our listeners to get you started right now. Get 55% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at babbel.com/sidenote. Get 55% off at babbel.com/sidenote, spelled BABBEL.com/sidenote. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Study time.
Study time.
Study time.
Study time.
FOMO.
I'm here with Exhibit A, Gregory Brown. God.
The no.
Biggest FOMO boy.
That's
on
bad
planet.
Because. Earth. No, if you read about FOMO, it's like, yeah, you're a psycho. I'm kidding. We'll get into the research, but it ain't looking good. If you got it, it's a problem. It's not like fear of missing out is ever a good thing.
Anyone thinks it's a good thing.
No, I know. That's why I'm really like, what the
no one's
hell?
Like, yeah. Well, guess what? I have FOMO, so fuck you.
So that's why I'm like, you saying I'm Exhibit A makes you want to flip this table. And
okay. Well, meanwhile,
I've worked on it, and I'm like barely have it anymore. But I used to have it so bad.
Okay, girl, you gotta be able to handle that. The amount of times you're like, and yeah, Mitch is a perfectionist.
Okay. Well, I was hoping to come and explain my FOMO, not be told it to my face as the first point.
Okay, I'll take it back. Greg does not know.
No, I do. I literally do. It's called fear of missing out. Okay. Also, it's like the term was coined in 2004, which I still can't get over.
Neither. And then it says really it's been since 2010.
When like probably BuzzFeed was like, have you ever heard of FOMO? And like went off on that.
So it must, I guess it was developed in tandem with the rise of social media.
It was with SNS. And I kept being like, what's SNS? And I kept having to, in all the studies, be like, oh, social networking sites. Did
that
you notice that?
That is so annoying.
I'm like, you can just write social networking sites every time because now I don't know what you're
doing. Or just social media. No one calls it social SNS. Networking sites.
It's
stop
so,
changing the words.
In scientific studies, they always try to use acronyms. They write like the complex.
I love an acronym.
Well, they'll write the complex chemical once and then it'll get an acronym, but I'm like, that complex chemical is really what helps me understand. And then when there's all these, it's like this acronym affects that acronym. It's like, no, leave the words.
You're like going to the like legend being like, okay, what were all these names again?
It's really frustrating. So FOMO, in fear of missing out, increased and is in tandem a concept with SNS, social networking sites.
Okay.
And so FOMO includes two processes. Firstly, the perception of missing out, followed with a compulsive behavior to maintain social connections, or pervasive apprehension that others might be having rewarding experiences from which you are absent. Those are interesting.
It is wild to think like, I mean, I'm sure people experienced this before 2004 and they just were like, they're like, oh, I'm sad I'm not there.
But then I was like, but how?
I wish there was a word for that.
Yeah. And it's like, you didn't know what anyone was doing unless you called your friend.
It was more like unless you knew you were intentionally not invited something, or you just couldn't make it to something.
Okay,
but then
so
you didn't have to see it in your face.
You could have FOMO before social networking sites, and we're sorry to all the Gen Xers who in the 80s and 90s were told about a party on the Friday and they were not invited.
Yeah.
And so when they were at home on that Friday, they were having something called FOMO, but they didn't know how to place, they didn't know what to call it then. They said, I'm sad I'm not at the party. But then social networking sites came along and everyone had that feeling
like
all
every
the
day.
Time.
Yeah. Yeah. At all moments of your day, you're missing out on something.
But also, one study was like, it can be an episodic feeling that occurs in mid-conversation. So that made me think of pre-cell phones. That's when you're like showing up at school on the Monday in the 80s and they're like, oh my God, this weekend we all went to the theme park. And then you're like mid-conversation, like, what?
Oh, that's like such a sad feeling.
Yeah. And then
especially
it could be
at that age when you're just like, wait, I wasn't invited.
Yeah. So that is FOMO. It's brutal. Like, I'm going to cry.
And especially then, like as a little gay kid, when you start to kind of become gay and then you realize you're not getting invited anymore.
Yeah.
I feel like you had lots of friends.
No. Well, the crazy thing about me was like,
did that happen to you?
No, it was like I was gay and
popular.
Then they'd be like, no, I wasn't popular. But then sometimes the cool kids, like I had a couple of ins through the cool kids because like I was just like funny or whatever. And then they'd be like, do you want to go play after school? And then I would self-sabotage and be like, I have piano. And I'd go home alone because it was like, I don't know if I can handle even whatever that means is going to be. Like, am I going to...
Your phone's ringing. Yeah, you can keep talking. Sorry, 1 second.
Yeah. So I would get FOMO, but it would be self-inflicted because I was too scared to hang out with the invites. And even sometimes I was like, are they inviting me to bully me? Which is so sad. But I actually don't think they were. That's what I mean. Mine was like self-inflicted FOMO. Okay, so there's a long-term disposition of FOMO, which I guess is like you have it like all the time. It can like be a state of mind. And that is what can lead to
that, like, you feel like you're just always where you are is not where you should be or want.
Yeah,
to be.
Like that's what I mean. It's like it can be episodic. Like you can have FOMO. Like I think I like thankfully at least now have FOMO in moments. Mm-hmm. But then there's like this other like long term version of it, which can make people feel a deep sense of social inferiority, loneliness, intense rage, depression. And then it can lead to envy, and then it can lead to murder. Okay, that's so intense. That's so intense. But like, I got so deep in the shit, and it was like envy's crazy. And
they linked this to murder.
Okay, that is like so.
Or they were just like,
I just Joe Rogan.
Really envious people also murder.
I just Joe Rogan or whatever the fuck it's called so hard. Like it's not that, but like. Envy is linked to FOMO. And when I was reading about envy, they were like, it's like a lot of murders. like actually when you kill someone, a lot of it is linked to envy.
And so FOMO.
FOMO is
the
murder.
Leading cause of murder.
No, we have to reel it back. We're going to talk about envy later because it's so interesting. Didn't realize like the whole Bible is about that.
Wait, what?
I didn't read the Bible. Okay. I read like a picture book version when I was young, and I was like, "Wow, that's it.
Cute,
like, simple." Go.
No, wow, I just feel so caught off guard by
murder
that I'm like, I need to catch back up to where we are.
Okay, let's go back to Instagram because it's crazy. It's literally social media that made it.
Yeah, but I was gonna say. Obviously, we're making jokes at the beginning that you have a lot of FOMO. Everyone has moments of FOMO.
No, I have bad FOMO.
You do, but I just mean like we can't pretend that like everyone listening, myself included.
No, but you don't. You're like,
but I still do. I still do. I just like next to you, I'm like, girl, relax.
And but why don't you?
I think my gut is that introverts like don't have as much FOMO because they would rather be alone. You know what I mean? Like, there's, yes, I do. There are times when I am home, and I've probably said this. I know we talked about this recently. Like, when I'm at home and I'm like, oh, I am kind of sad I'm not there, but I would rather be here.
But yesterday so you were messaging me how you were sad you were to not be at the.
Yeah, that I wanted, I was working. Like, I would, that was.
But was that FOMO or was that something else?
That was FOMO.
Wow.
Because, but in that case, I wasn't making the choice. I was like, I have too much work to do. I can't come do this thing. So that's when a FOMO would happen to me. Whereas I feel like you would rather be with friends than be at home alone.
Yeah,
and
I see.
Like, so then anytime it's like, there's something else going on, it's higher value to
you. Joke I say that I loved the pandemic because if it meant I have such bad FOMO that it meant if my friends hung out without me, they might die. It's like, oh yeah, y'all want to hang out without me? Good luck getting COVID and dying. Oh, I love when we all tucked ourselves into bed early. At 10 a.m. I had no FOMO in the pandemic because I was like, girl, if you're out there, it's illegal.
Yeah.
But
okay,
yeah,
Instagram.
Instagram creates a distorted perception of other people's edited lives and creates a round-the-clock nature of you to feel inadequate and lonely and less popular and comparing yourself. And FOMO as a concept truly came out around the time of Instagram, which
and
is
especially
wild.
With the adoption of stories, which we all know was stolen from Snapchat, but to have a much more frequent 24-hour version.
Yes, that's so true.
Because a lot of people would post on their Instagram feeds regularly, but I feel like stories gave the idea that you could even start to post things that were kind of meaningless because they would go away, right? The feed felt like it has to be important enough. I can't post a picture of my sandwich here.
Yeah.
But then once you get a story, you're like, I can spam this with as much as I want. So now suddenly you're seeing everyone at every moment, every time they're with someone, every time they're doing something that's even remotely interesting. You know what I mean?
Which is what I think is interesting about the definition involving the term having rewarding experiences from which you're absent. Mm. This is what's triggering me because it's I'm obsessed with novel experiences. Mm-hmm. My love language is quality, rewarding time with others. So I get how that's all linked to
you're
my
like,
FOMO.
It will be
actually
rewarding to be there.
Oh, they went on a hike. I want to feel nature with my friends. Rewarding experiences as opposed to you don't feel FOMO when someone's just doing something that you don't think is rewarding.
Yeah.
Rewarding is a really interesting word.
I mean, it might be worth, maybe we're just different in this, but the other day I had to choose. I mean, I was busy with work and had to choose not to go to an event or a hangout, and I was getting really anxious being like, maybe I should just work so hard and then go. But then I did stop and I was like, no, just think about, do you actually really want to go? What's that going to be like? What are you going to get out of it? Are you going to be more anxious or happy as a group of people that you want to be around? And then I was able to actually be like, actually, no, I'm okay not going. Sometimes there's just this feeling that you think you want to be there.
Yeah.
You think you want to have fun.
Yeah.
And obviously you're saying
obviously,
social connectedness.
And I'm,
but I think for anyone, it's worth sometimes when you have that instinct of FOMO, pausing to say play it through. If do I actually really want to be there?
No, that's when I realized I actually I am so deeply a FOMO because I'm like, you. This reminds me of every time you say something and you're like, you can't just say that to about
what?
Me. Every time you have issues, I'm like, well, why don't you just try thinking like this and this? And then you're like, you can't say that to people with anxiety or whatever. I had that exact moment just now. I'm like, you couldn't. If I'm in the midst of FOMO, I'm bearing a knife and I'm like, here I am being like, I'm gonna murder. But I just think you being
for sure between the two of us, if one's gonna murder the other.
Everyone thinks it's you.
I know, and that's why it will be you killing me.
Yeah, and then I'll be like, he slipped of hand. Okay, wow. This is is this demonetized? Are you allowed to talk about murder? Anyways, I do feel you're right. Of course, you can just breathe and think about it, but I think FOMO is so deep, at least it is for me, that I can't.
I didn't say breathe and think about it. I meant I'm talking about a person who's anxious, and a lot of times when I have anxiety, and I'm just saying this to everyone out there, I'm not trying to tell you you're wrong.
Breathe in.
I'm breathing. When I'm having a moment of anxiety, it's because my brain is spiraling, but often actually not finishing that question that my therapist will always say, and then what?
Yeah,
right?
True.
You're not
and then what?
You're just you're just going, oh my God, I'm feeling this way. I'm so, everything bad's going to happen. What if that happens? And then you have to go, okay, what would actually happen if that happens?
Okay, so I also have worked so much on my FOMO that I don't really, I swear I'm I haven't had that feeling in so long, which I used to have all the time. And I would go crazy and Mitch would be like, my boyfriend's crazy. And I'm like, I wish I could know exactly what the things were that helped, but I would just be like, blanket statement, therapy. And there is stuff in here about cognitive behavioral therapy and FOMO and it being maybe one of the only things they can say right now.
Is that
to help? Because it's kind of a unique thing.
Yeah.
But one thing I would say, and this relates to us, is that FOMO is directly associated with problematic social networking site use, aka social media use. So I was like, okay, between the two of us, I use social media way more.
Yeah, so I have a really interesting study about this.
Oh God,
too.
Okay.
So it says, it found people who are extroverted and experience FOMO exhibit more addictive behaviors on Instagram.
Well, drag me through the fucking mud.
So if you don't know, Greg's addicted to Instagram. I'm like,
I know what's crazy is it's like, I'm always like, what? Like, literally, why? Like, I have like all the apps that block it. And like, and then every time I go on Instagram, I'm like, this objectively sucks. But you're right. It's like, I have FOMO and it is the stories. The stories are the only thing that keep me back. But it's weird that they were finding
people who are extroverted and have FOMO are more like, it's like, I guess it's what's driving you there.
Yeah.
So people who,
I'm going cross-eyed because I'm getting so like followed this,
like not only had favorable attitudes towards Instagram, they followed more accounts, they reported stronger social media addictive tendencies, and then they had more posts and likes compared to people with introverted personalities. And then, interestingly, it said neurotic personalities, people with higher anxiety and emotionally unstable, I'm looking at myself here, had a positive view of Instagram but did not have as high social media activity. And I do feel like I think I have a positive attitude. I actually don't think it's a bad thing, but I never post
because it's like controlling my life.
Yeah, I just thought it was interesting to be like they could still have a positive attitude towards it but just like not want to use it. I'm too anxious to use it.
That's so true. You'd be like, I could never post on a story because you have to like think what I don't think.
It's too much work.
Also, they said that what the Instagram does is it creates a cyclical nature because FOMO, you engage with Instagram to alleviate feelings of loneliness that then exacerbate them. Hmm. And you like go back to try to like alleviate loneliness by being like, oh, I'm connected with my friends. Yeah. But then you're just feeling more lonely.
Like a crazy cycle.
Yeah. And then it's like, obviously they're talking about young people growing up now. It's like making it harder for them to understand that like connectedness isn't like seeing someone's stories. Like it is actually like they don't know that you saw their story. Like you should talk to them. And then it's just like, then you feel less... At least I feel like I didn't grow up with it in the sense that like I don't feel like I'm an incompetent person in person. Like I'm a social extrovert. Yeah. Uh-huh. But I could see how if you started to get really,
if that was your main, then you'd start being like in real life, you'd
be
like,
how do I talk? I'm really good at posting online.
Yeah, but this might just be like an old person thing to say.
Yeah, it's
because like kids might be like, well, we don't need that anymore.
I know, and I'm also like
we're fine to communicate online.
Exactly. And I'm also like scared that I'm like sounding so old by being like, I love Instagram. Like the kids are like, no one uses that. But I do think it's interesting. Like, I do think when I read all these things, I felt very seen in a negative way. I'm like, this is the things that, like, this is, yeah.
This is me.
And then this is another time I felt read, was one psychologist argued that FOMO was linked to being too fast. That when you plan your life around accomplishing a lot of things, you're more vulnerable to feeling FOMO. And I'm like, God damn it. That's like, I'm so fast.
And you Whereas are you're an accomplisher.
And I'm exactly. So then you're like, for whatever reason, like if you're obsessed with accomplishing and like doing tons of things and being really fast, it's like you're more vulnerable to caring about when other people are doing things.
Why?
It was really bad article. And I actually like don't. I'm like, when you asked why, I was like, I hated it. And it had ads all over it that were like, so it was so self-helpy, and there was nothing more than that. But I felt
it
triggered.
Was
by
covering a study, or they were just saying
no. It was a doctor trying to sell a goddamn self-help book, and it was like a snippet, and he was being interviewed, and the article was the interview with him. And it was horrible. But the one thing he said was like he did a TED talk about being slow and how important slowing down is.
Okay.
Truly nothing was said. It was like the most jargon thing, except that he was like, FOMO is more vulnerable for people who are fast. And I was like, okay, well, fine. I'm fast, then I got FOMO. You
connected with that. Interesting. Yeah.
But then it was like anything else he said, I was like, this is dumb. Wow, I feel so bad. I think someone could figure out who that was from what I just said.
Well, you're just saying the article was dumb, not him, right?
Yeah, sorry. Well, I don't know. You know when people don't give specifics or anything, and they just, it's like, so your opinion, but you're a doctor.
Yeah.
Of psychology. Do you know what I mean? Like,
but that's like
what we do.
No, I mean, like, sometimes you know something so well, you don't have like the citation for it.
Like, I know, it's psychology and when it's self-helpy, I'm like, I need it. I need the happiness.
Hopefully in his book, he'll have it. I don't even know who we're talking about. Let's move on.
No, but I'm saying like, I think this does happen a lot. I think that there are like intellectuals who have really smart degrees and then they get obsessed with something and then they lose the ability to back it up with real scientific information. Hmm. Like even this like FOMO thing, it was like, I eventually found that they were like, okay, it is important from like an evolutionary point of view to be able to scan your environment for threats and then figure out where you like fall in your rank or whatever. Mm. And they were kind of being like, this is me, I'm starting to get into envy, but talking about how it's like FOMO is kind of related to like looking at other people. Yeah. And the reason it feels bad is you're socially comparing yourself and right. thinking, I'm inferior because I'm not partying with Leonardo DiCaprio mm-hmm. on a yacht or something.
Or I'm not where my social group is. Like I've been yes. excluded and I need to improve my standing. Otherwise, like this negative feeling is meant to motivate me.
Yeah, it's like you're
from an evolutionary standpoint.
Exactly, to be yeah. in the group, yeah. to compete for the resources.
Safety
like,
and resources.
Even like
depends.
Mating and all these things. All yeah. that information. That was like the first part of a lot of these FOMO articles. I was like, interesting. This is going back to dragging that guy. It was like, bring me some of that.
Right.
Like, it's just like, I know that that's
connect
like
the dots.
Yeah.
Us.
I know that that's like whatever, Doc. But it's like, ooh, you start to go like, ooh, okay. Like yeah. interesting. Mm-hmm. Like FOMO is like, obviously there has to be some reason why you might have it. Mm-hmm. And from an evolutionary perspective, you're like, that is true. You want to be in the group yeah. to survive.
So I'm curious in this moment, all the other languages, what term they've come up for FOMO yeah. and if it like kind of gives a different perspective or
well,
twist on it. If you speak another language,
we've been
let
slamming
us know.
Back Babel. So how do you say fear? O for Spanish or, oh shit, no, that's or. What's of? We're so
like duh.
Yeah, fear. fear de missing out.
We don't know any of those words.
Oh
so.
My God. That's
this
so
was a really
sad.
Bad example.
I hate that about like those language apps. I love them, obviously, and they sponsor this podcast. But like sometimes you're like, I
once
really know how to order a salad.
Yes.
Yeah. And then you're like, I don't know the word fear or missing or F. I'm like, Abrier is open, fear of missing open. Like I can go so far.
All right, let's go back to FOMO. So a lot of studies find, or you were about to talk about envy? Or
yeah, no, keep going.
Just like talking about mental health is where I was going with this. And I guess like envy is going to be tied into that. Previous research has found that FOMO is positively correlated with depression and anxiety and a significant predictor of stress. Individuals with high levels of FOMO were more likely to suffer from alcohol abuse and sleep disorders. So obviously FOMO, and like obviously these things, like some studies can show correlation, some are not sure if it's causation. It's like, which came first, the chicken or the egg? Are people who are more depressed more likely to have FOMO, or is FOMO causing these things? But overall, like FOMO decreases your well-being and satisfaction of life.
Yeah, like it would.
It's
yeah.
a negative part of your mental health.
Yeah, for sure. I'm trying to be like, did I ever have FOMO? And it was awesome.
But something I was going to say is interesting is a lot of people think about FOMO when somebody is alone. And so there was a 2023 study that investigated whether experiencing solitude triggered FOMO. So like being alone, is that what triggers FOMO? And then they realized through this study that the type of solitude makes a big difference. So it's not just being alone.
Yeah.
There's something called positive solitude and eccentricity, where it's like self-determined solitude. Whereas when someone's being socially avoidant, so if you're anxious and you're like just trying to avoid people, or if your loneliness is not like self-determined, you're a lot more likely to have FOMO.
Yeah, that makes total sense. Like whenever I've been like, you're going to be alone and do something, love thine self. It's like, then I don't get FOMO. Exactly. It's obviously when I'm like,
yeah, when people have like, they're fulfilling psychological needs. If you're like meditating or going on a walk and you're like, I've decided I want to do this for myself, you're probably less likely to have FOMO. But when you're not, when you haven't made plans for yourself and you're just alone, maybe because you didn't have time to make plans or they fell through, like you're much more likely to be sad about it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I need to be better at solitude for sure. Hence, I always have headphones blasting something in my ears. That's not solitude. That's FOMO.
Do you think?
Well, I mean, I'd be more likely to be like,
I feel like that's something
FOMO.
Else.
Okay.
Or like, well, no, it doesn't feel like FOMO, but it feels like you, I don't know if that's like ADHD.
Well, I'm obsessed with wanting to do things. It's like a version of yeah. doing things while I don't have to do anything.
Yeah. I think everyone has that a bit. Like I obviously struggle and have moments where I have to be like, I'm not listening to a podcast on this walk because I have,
wow.
if I've had like a busy morning where there was lots in my ears, I've had to like watch videos for research or like listen.
Smart.
I'll walk with nothing.
Whereas the one time I've ever walked without headphones was when I didn't think I had them and they were around my neck. And then I was embarrassed. So it's like, you know what I mean? And now I'm just like, well, this should have been on my head. Okay, so I'm going to talk about Endy.
And murder.
And murder. Well, actually, I didn't include the murder parts. That was part of a like bunch of articles.
That was part of that article, that bad scientist or whatever.
No, no. It was actually really good articles. But I was like, I don't know if we need to talk about murder. But obviously, it stuck with me. But a lot of FOMO is related to envy. Like, and you get more FOMO for people who you're envious of. And I thought this was interesting, is that you envy people who you're similar to.
Okay.
So like through a series of studies, they found out
that, 'cause you see them as like what you could be.
Yeah, they did this really cool study on college participants where they gave them feedback on their like career aptitude test. And like they would either tell them they did like they're promising in their field or they're poor. Then they were given the career aptitude information of another student who had done well or poorly. And sometimes it was in the same domain. Sometimes it was a completely different career. And it was only when it was in the same domain that they had envy.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. And I was like, that's so interesting. Like you don't envy people who aren't similar to you, which I think is like you aren't going to have as much FOMO around. Well, it makes sense. Like, I guess your friends are probably like you. But like there's probably certain people or triggers of FOMO. And it's people who are like you because it's like reflecting back. Why am I not out if they're out?
Yeah.
Or why am I not doing a thing?
There's a direct comparison. Like if it's in your field of work or if you're at school and you're in the same degree, of course you're going to be like, well, I could care less what someone in an acting class is.
Yeah.
But
it's like
my friend who's sitting beside me in biology is doing better. And I'm like kind of feeling envious that they're doing so well.
But isn't it kind of cool? Because it's like, I feel like people don't really get envy. They're just like, oh, I'm envious of Leonardo DiCaprio. It's like, no, who's really envious of Leonardo DiCaprio? A struggling actor.
Or yeah,
like,
you know what I mean? I would bet out of everyone we know that people, like, hey, I don't think a lot of people are like envious of Leonardo DiCaprio. Like,
I don't know why I'm keep choosing him. But
I just mean, you're right though. People who like are actors or want to be entertainers or performers probably look at him and are more envious, especially the ones closer to him in sort of like achievements.
Yeah.
And
I don't know why I even brought him up earlier, but now we're going into like, if you're an actor, even if you're a famous actor, even if you're like, you know, D-list, that's so mean actor, you're probably really envious of Leonardo DiCaprio in a way that I could never understand.
Yeah.
And then I think we should do a whole...
envy is so ugly.
I think we should do a whole episode. I'm adding it on envy. So there's more to come because there were so many studies and I didn't have time to read them all. And I'm like, this shit is fascinating.
Yeah.
Because it is...
And
it
if
was,
you...
It was better studied than FOMO. It was just linked to FOMO, but it was more like people have gone
deeper in. Deeper research, and it feels like such a visceral feeling. Like, it is not a nice thing to feel envy.
Well, okay,
it's actually,
so why
it's
like is
jealousy.
It? Why are
it's
they?
Like, it's self-loathing. Like, it all reflects back on yourself when you're envious of someone, I think. And it's just such an emotion that's like kind of a really dark one.
Why is it so biblical?
I have no idea.
Like, I swear every article
maybe,
couldn't
maybe
get away
because
with...
I actually don't know, but is it, like, one of the deadly sins or something like that?
Yeah, and I think it
because
was,
Because
like...
it's maybe just, like, is such a, like... You know, like, no one wants to admit they're envious. It's, like, a very bad trait to have.
Yeah, but they kept saying it like I should know. Like, everything would be like, we all know how the whole Bible is about envy. And I was just like, okay, but, like... I don't either. Okay, anyways, so like if you're out there, you're probably screaming, you're like, that's why Jesus was crucified, like envy, like maybe, like I don't know, but like, so also envy, and we're just going to keep going, is like it exists when you don't, like, okay, it's kind of linked to like injustice.
Okay.
So I was like, this is so interesting. It's like when
you feel there's an injustice.
Yes, it's like when someone has something...
That you don't believe they're owed.
And I was like, that's really interesting. And I think that also, like, you know, with FOMO, it's
well, I
like,
think that's why it becomes like a quote unquote ugly trait, because you are like putting yourself higher than other people. You believe you're owed more than somebody else. And it's like it's not a very, like, it doesn't lead to very nice behaviors.
And another thing which I thought was so interesting was that deep down when you envy someone, it's because they have something that you actually don't think as a soberly that you ever could have.
Ever.
Or sorry, it's like, it's usually someone that has something that looks like effortless. Like when someone has something that like the injustice is, you're like, it's unfair. They
like
have
I'm
it.
Trying
they,
so hard
I'm trying
to get
so
it.
Hard and yeah. I don't even know if I could ever even have it.
Well, this all ties really well into FOMO, especially in the social media context, because exactly that you don't see people's struggles, right?
Exactly.
Like you really only see their triumphs, their greatest moments. And it's very easy to feel envious of being like, why is this so easy
for them?
For them. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So, okay, if you think about FOMO and you're like, let's just use Instagram. Sorry, I'm a millennial. And you're on a story. It's like someone who's going to trigger you is someone who's similar to you. Mm-hmm. So like, yeah, it's like, okay, let's think about like careers. It's like, oh, that person's at this like amazing conference I want to go to. Like you're going to be more envious and have FOMO about that than like someone who's like, the other word is admiration. You're going to have more admiration for someone who's doing something
in a different field.
Yeah. Oh, I admire them. They're working hard. They're a painter. They're slaying it, but I'm an accountant over here. And that guy just made his way to the top.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's
even if you're like a musician, it's probably way easier to appreciate painters
because
you're like not competing against them.
Comedians and musicians are always friends. And I always think like, oh, it's because they're not, they can admire each other and not envy each other.
I thought that was like a comedian watching your friend comedian. It's a little I want to be able to do that if you're doing really well.
Yeah. And I do think that was a really cool part of these articles was being like, you need to focus on when you're envying and when you're admiring. Hmm. And you're admiring people who are different than you, who you're like, oh, that's totally fine. I'm not even comparing myself to them because they're so like, whatever. And then also just like the idea that it coming easy to them is like so, like we were saying, the Instagram thing. Mm-hmm. Like it's like you don't see the struggle and then you think to yourself, I don't even know if I even had the opportunity I could do that.
Right.
And then lastly, it's like obviously a really hostile emotion and it can lead to murder. I'm kidding.
Well, we should do a whole podcast on envy.
Oh, yeah, we should. We should.
Save it because I'm sure there is so much more in there and it feels like such a dark one.
And then you denigrate them so that in that same study of the college students, they found that when someone in the same domain, they asked them to write about the person and they said, well, you know, they're probably like a lot nerdier than me. They probably, they probably spend way too much. Like they just, they all
don't
started
have
figuring
very many
out,
good relationships. Yeah. They probably are actually a little bit sad. And
which I don't think is necessarily like a bad thing because I do I'm like I do think about like envy and like how it's like important to just not be envious of one trait of someone but their whole life because you can be envious of like one person's thing and then realize
what you see on the surface or being like well do I want if you want that you have to take it all
that's like, what my therapist once said to me about comparing yourself to others, I thought was interesting. And it's like, oh, well, you never want all of what they have.
Maybe you do.
Maybe you do. And then that's
that can
deep
be a
envy.
Goalpost.
But for me, I'm always like, oh, whoa.
A lot of times, somebody has one thing you want, but then you realize, I don't want their whole life.
Like, yeah, which I feels a bit denigrating, though. Like, it's you being like, well, those other parts of their life
suck. I think that's different. I think the denigrating part probably comes, like, just because I don't want someone else's life doesn't mean I think it's bad. It just means like, I don't actually want
to live
in that place. And I don't want to have these struggles and I don't want to have that.
Yeah.
It's denigration when you're actually just like, oh, well, they're probably unhappy and they're actually like a bad person and their friends don't really like them. And
oh shit. Yeah.
But I think when you're comparing your whole life, you can actually be like, those things are great, but I just don't actually want them.
Okay, yeah, we should. There's so much more. We should do a whole thing on ND because it is coming to a podcast.
Yeah,
and then I will include because I don't have it in my notes. I will include the murder.
Okay,
because like I think that's why it's so studied. I think that they're probably like, damn, this shit is dark.
Yeah, I guess that's true. Like, especially like if someone cheats on you or something, and you're so amazed you murder them.
Yeah, is that what that is? Is that envy? Your envy
or jealousy? I'm sure they're linked. Like jealousy and envy.
Yeah.
Oh boy, I gotta chill down my spine.
Yeah, okay, well,
I didn't.
I don't know. I didn't really figure out ways to deal with FOMO, but I just know that I've really learned to deal with mine through therapy. And
yeah, that's interesting. I didn't find anything about that either, other than to know. I think it's worth exploring how to deal with that. Hold on, I'm trying to see if I wrote down anything about dealing with it, but I don't think
I don't even want to go into mine. It was like there was cognitive behavioral therapy, there are medications, there are things, but I'm like, that's all.
Yeah, talk to a therapist. Talk to your doctor, talk to your therapist, and I think that's where you got to find the path because it is all that's internal work. Really.
But it is like it didn't exist before social media. So don't feel bad if it's like,
well,
it's
just probably so much worse.
Sorry. The term FOMO didn't exist. Like it's a testament to our time. Like it is. And we have to deal with it. And social media addiction is directly linked to FOMO. So just think about that. Slay cool. all day.
All right. Well, hope you don't have too bad FOMO.
Yeah. It just feels like a really weird ending.
Yeah. Well, I don't know how we're going to end it. Okay. Thanks for listening. We'll see you guys later.
Post.
Peace.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.